All right, everyone, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we get an opportunity to allow the best that our Creator has put in us to come out. That's right, we get a chance to experience compassion, sensitivity. As our guest, yours and mine, Reverend Max Wilkins, talks about a perspective of an issue that has been very, very at the center of a lot of debate in America the Beautiful, has to do with immigration. Reverend Wilkins, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing really well, Carl. How are you?
I'm doing well, too, and I truly appreciate you for joining me to talk about what's going on in our nation, and particularly as it references immigration. But before we move into immigration, if you could give everyone a chance to get to know Reverend Wilkins a little bit better, if you could talk with us about the track, the path that led you to into ministry, and then specifically where you are now.
Okay, I'd be happy to. Well, you know, I have been following Jesus and working in ministry for over 30 years now. I spent 30 years as a local church pastor, in mostly in Florida and then in Hawaii. But 2 years ago, I assumed the role of president and CEO of the Mission Society, which is an interdenominational global missionary sending agency. So we have about 240 missionaries in 42 countries around the world. And as a result, and we're particularly focused on reaching the least reached peoples. So we do a lot of work in the places in the world where a lot of the refugees and immigrants are originating. And so it's a, you know, it's a subject that's pretty close to our hearts because the Lord has sent us to work there.
I tell you what, and I truly appreciate you for being so willing to respond to that call the way you've responded. I know sometimes if the call means we have to leave our comfort zone, some people will say no to the call, which is not a good thing. But you have said, okay, this is what you want me to do. This is where I'm headed. This is what I'm going to do.
Well, you know, Carl, many, many, many years ago when I was a little boy, I'm getting a little older now, but when I was a little boy, I heard a preacher give one of the most interesting benedictions at the end of a worship service because he stood up and said, "Now, O Lord, would you comfort the afflicted and would you afflict the comfortable?"
Wow.
I thought, well, that's a good word because, you know, sometimes God has to push us outside our comfort zone to get us into the God zone.
Mm. That is such a powerful and true point. He has to discomfort us to get us out of our comfort zone into the God zone. And I imagine, even when you talk with people who may have expressed some reluctance to get into the God zone because they were comfortable where they were, that do you find that as you talk with people, do they reveal whether or not they find greater fulfillment once they go ahead and obey and get into the God zone rather than remain in that old comfort zone? Or do they regret that they obeyed?
You know, I've rarely ever run into anybody that will trust the Lord enough to step into what the Lord is doing and then look back on it and think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. You know, it's not to say that everything always goes well, but there's just something about knowing that you're within the will of the Lord and knowing that you're doing what God's calling you to do. You know, Ephesians 2:8-9 is the gospel. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that's not your own. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. But then it goes on, the very next verse, and says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand for us to walk in. And I just don't think we ever find true fulfillment until we step into those good works that God prepared beforehand for us to walk in. So, you know, it's natural for human beings to be a little bit afraid when God starts calling them to something. I think that's why every time an angel shows up in the Bible, first words they say is, don't be afraid, because, you know, when God shows up, it can be a little bit scary.
Yes, sir.
But then we step into that moment, and clarity comes, and peace comes, and you know you're doing what you were put here to do, and that's a wonderful thing. And that might be something as awesome as going halfway around the world and serving as a missionary in China or something, but it might be as simple as just taking that step of obedience in a small thing like giving a meal to somebody that's hungry, or reaching out to somebody that's broken, or visiting somebody in the jail, or even welcoming in the stranger like Jesus told us to do.
Wow. Simple things that we can do right here where we live.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the interesting thing is Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all the nations, and we haven't always been very good at that. So today, Jesus has seen fit to bring all the nations and dump them on our doorstep and say, okay, there you go. Now,
wow.
now you can do it.
Yes. That is such an excellent point. And that's one of the things that you're so sensitive to. And that has to do with how we are responding, even when the nations are being brought to our doorstep. They're coming to us. We wouldn't go to them, so God is bringing them to us. What kinds of responses do you observe, do you read about when it comes to our reaction when the immigrants are here, the nations mm-hmm. are here?
Well, you know, a lot of people are simply afraid, and I think there's something in, you know, human beings are by nature tribal creatures, and because we put ourselves in tribes, then we find ourselves being a little bit wary of people that are from a different tribe or whatever. But the Lord, and particularly for those of us that are filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in His grace, I think is calling us to move beyond those fears. But, you know, sometimes I think it's not so much that we don't care about other people, but sometimes we've just built our comfortable lives inside our own walls, and sometimes we don't even notice the people that are kind of outside our walls or outside our comfortable lives. I think the story that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus has a lot to say to us on this front, because, you know, Jesus talked about this rich man and who lived a sumptuous life and had a nice home and all, and then he introduces this poor man named Lazarus, which interestingly, Lazarus means God is my help, and Lazarus is the only character in a parable of Jesus that's ever given a name. And I find that really interesting, because I think Jesus gave him that name because he wanted us to know that God helping Lazarus was important. But the Bible actually says that Lazarus was dumped. The word in the Greek, it literally says he was dumped on this rich man's doorstep every morning. And all Lazarus wanted was the crumbs of bread from under this rich man's table. But the rich man never gave Lazarus anything. And then Jesus says they both died, and Lazarus went to heaven, and the rich man went to hell. And, you know, I've looked at that story so many times, and I've thought, well, okay, so what was the problem with the rich man? Jesus doesn't tell us that he was a bad man. He doesn't tell us the man was doing anything wrong. The only thing that was missing from his life was compassion for this guy that was put on his doorstep. And I thought, why did he withhold compassion? And I'm convinced that the problem was the walls he built around his life. I think he just had built a life for himself inside his walls, and there wasn't any room for people from outside. But Jesus is pretty harsh in this story about that man, and I don't think the Lord's asking us to take care of everybody in the world, but I think the message of that story is the very least we can do is notice and care for the ones that the Lord's put right on our front doorstep.
That is such an awesome point. And I mean, right on the doorstep. I mean, the rich man would, unless he, you know, decided to go out a back door or something occasionally, he would see Lazarus every day.
And yeah, had to step over him.
Yeah. And keep his heart closed to him anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And something that you just shared with us, Reverend Wilkins, that really caught my attention. When you shared with us the meaning of Lazarus' name, you said it means God is my helper.
Yes.
When you said that, I got to tell you what really struck me, that Lazarus' situation was the same as so many of God's faithful people in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, who needed God's help, and they got it in death.
Yeah.
Lazarus did not get relief from his situation until he died and was then found in Abraham's bosom, in his place of rest.
Right.
But while he was on this earth, he continued to suffer.
Mm-hmm. He did. He did. And you know, I think God was clearly his help, and God was his salvation for sure. But I think God was disappointed that some of God's people on earth didn't give a little help to Lazarus, too.
Exactly. And had, I mean, he made it clear that this was a rich man.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the little details of that story that I think people miss sometimes is it says Lazarus wanted the bread from under the rich man's table. In our culture today, we don't know what that means exactly because it's different now. But in the days of Jesus, the rich people didn't have cloth napkins or even paper napkins at the table. And so instead, when they finished a meal, they would take the leftover bread and they would wipe their hands and wipe their mouth with the bread. And then they would throw that bread in the floor. And after the meal was over, they would turn the dogs in, and the dogs would eat that bread off the floor and clean it up. So the bread was like their napkins. And this story was saying that man on the doorstep, Lazarus, all he wanted was that bread that the man was throwing on the floor, which what it says to me is Lazarus wasn't even asking the man for something that he wanted. Something that the rich man wanted or needed. He was asking for the scraps the rich man threw away. So it wasn't that the man didn't have the ability to help. He just didn't notice or didn't care that this man was in need and could be happy with the scraps off of his table.
Reverend Wilkins, is that part of the issue that confronts the hearts, the minds of some Americans, that even when we have the ability to help, we just choose not to?
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely the thing. Because, I mean, let's be honest, nearly every American, we're the most blessed people on earth. And, you know, some of us struggle to pay the bills and that sort of thing. But, you know, growing up, my mother used to always say, there's always enough food for company. You know, you just stretch things or whatever.
Yeah.
But and I don't think that there's that the problem is lack of means to be compassionate and help people. I don't even think it's mean-spiritedness. I think we just don't see the world the way the Lord sees it. We just block out the people and circumstances that we don't want to see. And but we go on about our lives and just pretend like we don't know they're there. And some people have, you know, even started to say because they're afraid, oh, we don't want those people in our community. But you go to Matthew 25, and when Jesus says to the sheep, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, we think, yeah, you know, when we see hungry people, we'll feed them. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. But when he says, I was a stranger and you invited me in, we're not so sure what we want to do with that. Do we really want to invite a stranger into our lives? And yet Jesus said, because inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so, you know, we need to have in our minds that when we're serving these immigrants, we're serving Jesus.
Wow. So a lot of this has to do with perspective. Ladies
Absolutely.
And gentlemen, our guest, yours and mine, Reverend Max Wilkins, will be back with me in just a moment as we talk more about how we respond to immigrants.